We're remembering NASA's Opportunity rover and looking at what comes next for exploring Mars. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In more than 14 years of roaming the Red Planet, the Opportunity rover took more than 210,000 pictures. Because of Opportunity, scientists were able to unlock some of the geological history of Mars. What questions do you have about Opportunity's contributions to Mars research? Do you remember NASA launching this rover? And what do you want to see happen next for exploring Mars? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Eric Berger is senior space editor at the technology news website Ars Technica. Eric, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
Well, against all expectations, Opportunity became the longest-lasting robotic explorer ever sent to another planet. How big of a deal was that little rover that could?
It was quite a big deal. As you may recall, it landed back on Mars in 2004, and before that, only one other rover had ever been sent to another planet. Not counting the moon is not a planet, but before that, only Sojourner had been sent to Mars back in 1996, and that was really a tiny rover that lasted for 84 days. And so, to have something go to Mars and survive for 15 years really was a pretty stupendous achievement.
Do we have any sense as to how Opportunity was able to last as long as it did?
Well, you know, when the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California designs its spacecraft, it has minimum specifications. But it always, you know, hopes to double or triple that lifetime by building in components that can last longer. And in this case, you know, there was no internal power source that was going to run out of fuel, things like that. And so as it ran on solar power, you know, they got lucky and it lasted a long time.
Yeah, so solar power really helped it last, and solar power that even in the early 2000s seemed to be advanced enough to make this rover work for quite a while.
Yeah, in these rovers you'll often find much better batteries, computers, and more efficient solar panels that you can buy commercially because, you know, when you're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to build a spacecraft, you're going to put in the best sort of components you can. Typically, you don't see off-the-shelf materials.
So what did Opportunity in? What happened to it?
Well, last summer, this global dust storm kicked up over Mars, one of the worst that we've ever seen on the Red Planet. And Opportunity happened to be in a place where it was really exposed to this. And, you know, dust the efficiency of his solar panels had gone down somewhat. In this case, a lot of dust settled on Opportunity, and it basically didn't have enough power to operate. And so scientists back here on Earth hoped that over time, you know, the wind storms would clear some of that dust off and that they could communicate with Opportunity again. But for whatever reason, that just never happened.
So prior to Opportunity and its companion rover Spirit, how much did we really know about Mars?
Well, NASA had been successfully landing on Mars since the 1970s with landers primarily that didn't rove around. And so, you know, we had some basic ideas that, you know, the world was obviously dry and dusty now, but there were some tantalizing clues in the past that had been almost Earth-like, and this was maybe, you know, 4 billion years ago, but a long time ago, where water would have been on the surface, and there would have been, you know, much, much greener planet. And so we had an idea that that was what had happened, but Spirit and Opportunity were really the rovers that began to help us tell that story. You know, how did Mars, you know, lose its atmosphere? What were conditions really like? How long, you know, was water on the surface of Mars? And, you know, maybe, you know, could there have been life at that time? And so they helped tell us that story. We certainly don't have all the answers yet, but they set us on that path.
Talking with Eric Berger. He is senior space editor at Ars Technica. We're talking about the end of the Opportunity mission and what is next for exploring on Mars. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Eric, what did we learn then from Opportunity's images about the landscape of Mars and what we had thought about and what really the landscape looked like?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we learned a lot about Earth from Mars. We learned about kind of the geology of the red planet and how it formed, and that helped provide some answers about how, you know, how our own world may have looked, you know, a long time ago. And frankly, we learned about ourselves. These rovers really captivated the public's attention because, you know, Spirit lasted almost 10 years, and now Opportunity lasted 15 years, and they really, you know, we really humanized them because they were sort of these intrepid explorers on a distant world, you know, hopefully serving as the robotic precursors for eventual, you know, humans. And sort of the discoveries of these rovers, the vistas they sent, the idea that they were, you know, over there driving for 20 or 30 miles across another world kind of whetted the appetite, certainly of NASA and people who like space, to eventually send humans there.
How difficult is it to land a rover on Mars?
It's extremely difficult. The fact is no other country other than the United States has successfully soft-landed a spacecraft on that world. Russia has tried almost 10 times, and their best effort was to have a spacecraft land on Mars and send back a signal, and it survived about 20 seconds and then died. The fact of the matter is that NASA has landed on Mars 8 times. And it's very difficult because, you know, you need to build up a lot of energy to get from Earth to Mars in a reasonable amount of time, and then you need to slow down when you get there, and then you need to come to a, you know, soft landing on Mars. When there's no atmosphere, it's difficult because you can't really slow down as much through parachutes, so you have to use thrusters and things like that to slow down, and parachutes help, but not like they do when you're, you know, coming to Earth to slow down. So it's just very difficult to get down there, and it's obviously hard because it's so far away. You don't have any control. You kind of push the button and let it go.
So how has NASA improved on its rovers since launching Opportunity and Spirit? What are they doing there now?
Well, in 2012, you may recall Curiosity landed on Mars, and that was a much larger and more capable rover with about, you know, 8 to 10 times the scientific payload of Spirit and Opportunity. So basically those rovers showed us how to build systems that could survive on Mars for a long time, and then they were scaled up with Curiosity. And there's another rover that's a lot like Curiosity called the Mars 2020 mission that's going to launch in 2020. And the interesting thing is there is that's going to bring with it a small solar-powered helicopter that will actually be able to go up and scout around and come back and look. And other countries, too, are now, you know, looking at going to Mars. The European Space Agency, China, India, Japan all have, you know, missions to Mars, either land or to rove around or to go into orbit. To really help sort of open up the exploration. And of course, the Holy Grail is a kind of Mars sample return mission, which is where one spacecraft kind of goes along and collects samples on the surface of Mars, and then another comes along and carries us back to Earth so that they can be studied here, because you just get much better information if you can actually put the material in your lab. And you know, there's only so much science you can do from a small rover on another world.
Well, Eric, thank you for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Eric Berger is senior space editor at the technology news website Ars Technica. Coming up, we'll talk about President Trump's national emergency declaration as a means to get around Congress and build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Democrats call the move unconstitutional. What do you think? 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute. Maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network.